Monty and Jake are live and local every morning on your drive to work. Find the show on Twitter and Instagram at The Monty Show. Now it's time for Monty in the Morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic and 1580thefanatic.com.
7 o'clock, Monty in the Morning, 1580-99.3. The Fanatic, Arizona's new home for CBS Sports Radio. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You can find Jake at 1580-Jake. Biggest stories in sports this morning are all at 1580thefanatic.com. Oh, by the way, you should make sure you download the 1580 The Fanatic mobile app, wherever you get your apps. iTunes, Google Play, wherever you go, just search 1580 The Fanatic. Take us to work with you. Cardinals lose 17-3 to Detroit in what was a less than scintillating performance by Josh Rosen.
I mean, it's not ideal.
It's not ideal, Josh. Dude, I'm really struggling now philosophically with this organization that keeps telling me, oh, well, 2019 is the year we're going back to the playoffs and we're contending. And how? Help me understand that. You have an owner that's more concerned about the playoff or politicians and politics and the payoff than the playoffs.
That right? was really good right there. I give you credit.
That's kind of a good save. I bobbled it badly. Let's be honest. But the point is, Michael Bidwell's not engaged in this organization because if he is, he's completely incompetent. And I'd like to think he's not. But you have the end of an era here because Larry Fitzgerald breaks another record yesterday. He's now the all-time leading receiver for a single franchise with 1,282 catches with the bird on his helmet, passing Jerry Rice. And you're really hanging on to the records that Larry is setting because there's nothing else compelling about this football team. The head coach every week gets worse. And it's harder for me to sit here and say that I'm not sure it's the head coach. Yesterday, it was the head coach. You have 8 penalties for 83 yards. That's not a talent issue. It's a discipline issue. You have a quarterback that's not getting better. That is a coaching issue, not a talent issue. You have an offense that ran 65 plays, scored 3 points, 1 trip to the red zone in 65 plays. They ran 10 more plays than the Lions. Got outscored by 14.
How? How does that even happen?
Do you know how hard it is to do that? You know how hard it is to get to run 10 more plays than your opponent and lose by 14 points? And it's because you throw interceptions. It's because you turn the ball over. You're not able to move the football. It hurts you.
I mean, a lot of guys are going to get hung up on stats and stuff for the first half, but, I mean, there were, like, 2 or 3 plays there in the first quarter that I missed, which would have moved the sticks and gotten all the guys you want to see get your carries, all the guys you want to see get your catches. So sometimes when you go 3 and out early, it's hard to get in any kind of rhythm.
Yeah, Josh Rosen after the game yesterday, 888-368-1580, 888-368-1580. Do you believe in Josh Rosen? Do you look at this quarterback and see talent that you can build a franchise around? I don't know. That's the hardest part. I was on ESPN radio this weekend with a guy named Mark Tauscher, who is a Super Bowl champion and a Green Bay Packer Hall of Famer. And he said to me, Aaron Rodgers really believes in Josh Rosen. That's saying something. When Aaron Rodgers, who I think is a generational talent at quarterback, this is a guy who is the best quarterback in football right now, saying that Josh Rosen has the goods. I believe I see it. I've evaluated a lot of quarterbacks in my career, and I believe I see it. But this team sucks. Do you realize how little talent there is on the Arizona Cardinals? We did a little segment last week where we said, well, who are the guys that you have to keep? I think we had 9 guys. David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Josh Rosen, certainly one of those. But then it's
Mason Cole.
Mason Cole, the center, for sure.
Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, like, it. That's it. like Golden, Chandler Jones, and who else? Because Patrick Peterson's not on that list. He gone. He doesn't want to be here. Get his ass out of here.
Get assets for him.
Yeah. Move him. Let's move on. Let's get on with it. Move
Add
Patrick Peterson.
Add to that cap space.
You don't want to be here? Great. Don't be here. But this team has so little talent that it's hard for me to even evaluate the quarterback, which brings me back to my original question. Is it Steve Wilks or Steve Keim?
It's Michael Bidwell.
Well, that certainly could be. Because I hope Michael Bidwell holds him accountable. You need to fire Steve Keim. Sadly, I think Steve Wilks, you just can't keep doing what they're doing. Because even if you have no talent, and this is my biggest problem as we talk about the Arizona Cardinals on 1580 and 99.3, the Fanatic, here's my biggest problem. You're not getting better. You're not improving your discipline. You're not executing at a better level. Even if you have a severe lack of talent like the Cardinals, well, I've still got Larry Fitzgerald. I've still got David Johnson I can turn the ball over to. I can just hand it to him. Or I can throw it to him. And I've got Josh Rosen, this young quarterback. I'm going to tell Josh Rosen three steps, boom, the ball's gone. Hey, toss sweep. Jet sweep. Find a guy. Like, I'm going to be creative enough on offense, but you're not creative at all. And the idea that you're starting Josh Rosen and you're not creative, you're telling me you don't trust Josh Rosen. I'm telling you I don't trust you, Byron Leftwich. I don't trust you because you always go ultra conservative. The truth is, I would rather see Josh Rosen on the 10-yard line. I'd rather see him throw a pick six than just run David Johnson into three linebackers and go to the half with the clock running out. Let's see what the kid can do. Open the offense up a little bit.
He made throws yesterday that show us he has the goods. He there was one specific one where he's on, I want to say he was on the right hash. He threw it to the left sideline. Can't remember who it was to, but he, you know, has enough arc on it, right over the defender, right on the numbers to his receiver.
Make it happen,
it's
dude.
It's a nice throw.
Let's stop wondering and let's start doing.
Why are we, and this is the best way I can think to say it, and I thought a lot about this. Why are we holding on to any semblance that this team can be even 500? Because that's just garbage. That's not true. Like,
well, that's
not
why
where
I laughed. That's why I laughed at the mouthpiece down the dial that constantly kisses Cardinal ass when they were saying last week, oh, they're going to run the table. This team can. They went to Green Bay and won. They can run the table.
Don't lie to me.
Yeah, buy tickets at ArizonaCardinals.com and make sure you get a new jersey too. Because the Cardinals can run the table. No, they can't. This team's not going to win another game. They're not this year. They're not. So let's figure out who's who and what's what. Let's stop fantasizing about what you think might happen and start figuring out who's a player and who's not. Why all of a sudden, and this is what drives me crazy. What did Steve Wilks do after the game yesterday? Oh man, Trent Sherfield. Woo-hoo-hoo. Okay, well, if Trent Sherfield is worthy of all of this praise, where has he been? Help me understand it. He's so good, and he's playing so well. Where has he been? How come we haven't seen very much? I think he's got 10 catches on the season or something stupid like that. Where's he been? When he had zero catches, his first catch was against the Raiders on November 18th. Where's he been? You don't know how to evaluate talent. You don't know what you have. That's the biggest issue. Let Josh Rosen throw the ball. Let's run spread.
Let him make rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
Instead of
what do you have to lose?
This is the problem. When you don't have your front office and your head coach and your coaching staff in line, you're adding to the gray area that is this football team. Okay, it's one thing to say, well, you know, we're a bad team, right? Like, we're a bad team. We're rebuilding, which, by the way, they are, even though Steve Keim continues to deny it. This is a rebuilding team. So why don't we get our coaching staff in order? Let's get the ducks in a row there. Then we can start to play with Josh Rosen a little bit. We can start to say, hey, here's the game plan, man. Here's what we're going to do against the Lions. This is your mission this week. go out and execute it. And when inevitably he throws a pick six, and when inevitably he makes a mistake and takes a sack when he shouldn't, or just makes general football mistakes that rookies make, then you can develop him from there. But if you don't have a head coach and you don't have a GM and you don't have an owner who's invested, you can't do any of that. So then you leave your fan base in a position where, why would I buy season tickets? Let me sell it to the Lions and let me sell it to the Lions fans and make some money.
710 Monty in the morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. And make sure you hit us on the Fanatic text line, 888-368-1580. Would you be okay if Steve Wilks stands up there today and says, you know, you're going to start seeing some things that you're going to think are weird, but we're going to be unorthodox?
That would be refreshing.
Because we want to find out who we have. I as Steve Wilks, am going to go out doing what I want to do. And I want to know who Josh Rosen is. And so we're going to allow him to throw the ball. We're going to be in shotgun a lot. We're going to be in spread a lot. You know, we're really going to do everything we can do to get David Johnson the football in space. So that's going to cause us to do some unorthodox things. Hey, you know, if we're 4th and 2 at midfield, what the hell? We're going to go for it because I want to see Josh in 4th and 2 in pressure situations. I want to see him. By the way, it's going to be weird. We're going to run a lot of 2-minute in the first quarter, and that's going to seem weird to you. I'd be okay with that. I would love to have, and nobody in the media here holds the Cardinals accountable. I get that. I get it. I'd love to have somebody walk into a post-game press conference and say, Coach, why the hell were you in 2-minute in the first quarter? And I'd love Steve Wilks to say, because we're trying to learn who we have.
But that's not who this organization is.
It's not, sadly. It really is not.
And what you're referring to would be a change in mindset. Right now the mindset is, well, let's just put up this front. Let's put up this curtain that says, well, 2019, we're going to be a 500 team, and we're going to push to be 9-7, and that would be top of the mountain. We're not rebuilding in 2019. Whereas what you should be saying is, yes, we are going to rebuild in 2019. Yes, we do have potentially $70 million in cap space. And yes, we are going to try and lose out, but we're going to try and develop while we lose.
Well, and that's my point about the Arizona Cardinals right now. You have nothing to gain by winning. You have everything to gain by losing. So why don't you lose spectacularly?
Just take ownership of where you're at.
Yeah. Oh, and that, well, that's a Steve Keim discussion, because Keim time. Well, we're not rebuilding in 2019. We're going to have $70 million in cap space.
But even I could say this about Steve Wilks too. We've seen this in the past where head coaches and GMs aren't on the same page. They disagree about where they're at.
Oh,
and obviously
sure,
the head coach gets whacked, sure. But Steve Wilks is most likely already going to get whacked. So to your point, why would you not just go out doing what you do? Why continue to feed into the Keim garbage?
But if you have $70 million in cap space and you are the LA Rams or the New York Giants or the Chicago Bears.
The Giants
the
are
Packers.
A great example. Giants are the absolutely perfect example. What do the Giants have the Cardinals don't have? Well, they have Eli Manning and they have Odell.
They have talent.
Okay,
they have legitimate game-breaking talent.
Well, other people would point to, well, they have Saquon.
Yes.
Well, the Cardinals have David Johnson.
Yes.
Saquon might be a little more explosive, but David Johnson, 2 years ago, we were talking about him as the MVP and everybody's All-American.
Yeah.
So what's changed? Well, you don't have an offensive line that can block for him. That's what's
correct.
Changed.
Correct. You don't. You're just not. You're boring. This team. Listen, if you suck and you're exciting, talk to a Raider fan this morning. They beat the Steelers, and it's because they gave the ball to Derek Carr, and let him throw the football. It's exciting. Lose exciting. Don't lose boring. Don't lose running David Johnson into 7- and 8-man boxes. Stop that crap right now. Now
you look at the Miami win.
Good Lord.
You know what my single most favorite part of the Miami win.
Most favoritist.
Yes, my most favoritist, bestest, winningest moment was after the game. All the Miami players were like, "Yeah, that's exactly what we wanted to do. We had them right where we wanted them."
Yeah,
how about
Amendola saying, "Yeah, as soon as we saw the formation, we knew that we were good."
I love it.
It's exciting. Absolutely. A lot of you were in on the text line this morning. 888-368-1580. Don't care. Talk about the Bears. Hey, I can do that. I can do that. The 312. 312 is an old area code from Chicago, downtown. Says, don't care. Talk about the Bears. ATL Russ, this season seems The Cardinals are too bad to win and too scared to admit it. No question about it. When Steve Keim should be fired for coming out and saying you're not rebuilding next year. Because if you're not rebuilding, what the hell are we doing this year? Right? Like, what are we doing now? Why are we doing this if we're not rebuilding next year? That's the biggest
issue.
That's
what I'm saying. You're more concerned about selling a false narrative to your fan base who actually knows football. Because, by the way, it should be pointed out, there are some fan bases in this country that don't know football. They just show up to drink their beer and tailgate, hashtag the Bills Mafia. They just show up and do their thing in the parking lot. This Cardinal fan base knows football. Like, they understand
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So why would you try and sell them or feed them garbage? Just own the fact that you suck and you're rebuilding. It's fine.
Yeah, Bear Down Steve says, Bear Down, Chicago Bears, the national radio broadcast kept talking about how Da Bears defense sucks in the fourth quarter. Glad Da Bears turned that around last night. Thank you.
We came away with a win.
It's all that matters. It's all that matters. How about those Bears? Incredible. Incredible. This was a great sports weekend. The Heisman Trophy. Let me give you 2 minutes on the Heisman Trophy.
Bro, I'm fired up about this.
Kyler Murray wins the Heisman Trophy. I'm cool with that. Okay, I'm cool with that. Guy had a year. Here's my question. How did 67 of the 928 voters leave Kyler Murray off their ballot? No, you heard me right.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
67 Heisman voters didn't put Kyler Murray on their ballot.
What?
Here, let me blow your mind a little more. Tua Tagovailoa finished second, the quarterback at Alabama, by 219 first-place votes. Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy by 219 first-place votes. What's that tell you right away? Well, the SEC championship game absolutely broke Tua's balls. Like, he lost the Heisman Trophy over the SEC championship game. Oh, but wait, there's more mind-blowing news. 83 voters left Tua Tagovailoa off their Heisman ballot altogether.
How?
83 morons that vote for the Heisman Trophy left Tua Tagovailoa off their ballot. Hello?
What happened?
83? They should be stripped right now. Just, like, seriously. Like, are you kidding me?
Great Odin's Raven.
83 freaking people didn't put Tua Tagovailoa on their Heisman ballot. How is that possible, man? Dwayne Haskins finished third. Okay, great. 83, 67. Those people left those guys off their ballot. Again, not to keep belaboring how great I am, I did a talk show with Mark Tauscher on ESPN Radio this weekend. He voted Jonathan Taylor, not the actor from Home Improvement, the running back from Wisconsin.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
He had him second in his Heisman voting. He had 2-1, Jonathan Taylor 2, Kyler Murray 3. He defended it admirably. Loved it. I'm all good with conjecture for the Heisman Trophy. I'm not all good with leaving Tua or Kyler off your ballot. You should be run over by a train if you do that. Okay, that's probably extreme. That came out a little more strong.
Okay, that's not necessary.
Yeah, in my head, it sounded a lot better than you should die in a fire. You should get hit by a train. I thought that was a good compromise. It wasn't. So I'm just going to say, are the Bears legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Let's talk Chicago Bears football next. Monty in the morning, talking the National Football League on 1580 and 99.3. The Fanatic is Arizona's new home for sport.
From the 44, snap back to Goff. Bears are bringing pressure. McManus, the throw is intercepted by Abel Kamara at the Bear 40. He goes down near the 48-yard line. And the Bears have taken away four of Jared Goff's throws. And that one in the fourth quarter could be the final blow with 2:13 left.
How about Vic Fangio fourth down and he brings the house? He did it a couple weeks ago, I think, against Detroit. And now he brings the house against Jared Goff and one of the best offenses in the league.
Yeah, how about that? Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak on the Chicago Bears Radio Network. Bears win, baby. 15-6, and it was actually a really good game. Defense wins. The O-line wins, too. How about that Bears O-line doing the job on Aaron Donald? Trubisky was pretty rusty, pretty average. 16 of 30, 110, a touchdown, three picks, but he got the job done. And that Bears defense, unbelievable. Todd Gurley, an MVP candidate. The leading rusher in the NFL. 11 rushes, 28 yards, no touchdowns, three catches, 30 yards. Friends, let's do the math. 30 and 28 is 76. Actually, it's not. It's 58 total yards for Todd Gurley.
What happened?
Yeah, I'm terrible at math. Should have taken my socks off to count that high. The point is, Todd Gurley had 58 total yards and no touchdowns. Amazing. I wonder if the Bears exposed the Rams a little bit. Because the Bears played very wide on defense, dominated the flats, and forced the Rams to play between the numbers, and I think that was the key to the win. Really good. The question this morning on Monty in the Morning here at 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic and 1580thefanatic.com and the 1580 The Fanatic mobile app, wherever you get your apps, iTunes, Google Play, do it, 1580 The Fanatic. Are the Bears Super Bowl contenders? Should we put the Bears with the Rams, the Saints? Should we put the Bears, who's the hottest team in football right now? Has to say the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Bears could handle the Dallas Cowboys because they're very good up front. Are the Bears the Vikings? Certainly they've beaten the Vikings. They're the best team in the North. I think you've got to say.
They're better than the Vikings for sure.
Yeah, and I think that you right now have to consider the Chicago Bears as mediocre as they were on offense last night, and I'm with you. I think Mitch Trubisky was rusty. There was no doubt about that. The shoulder looks fine, by the way. Chris Collinsworth kept going on and on like he was some shoulder specialist waiting to do surgery. The guy's shoulder's fine. It's not like he had a dislocation or a break. He had an AC joint sprain.
Yeah, did you not see all the throws he airmailed last night?
Yeah, the guy's arm is fine. It was cold, number one, and number two, he was rusty. He threw a ball. I think they said he had three practices, and only one of them was full throwing.
He was rusty. Even to me, it doesn't really even matter how many practices he had. You're not replicating game snaps.
No.
And the ask was big last night for sure to take 3 weeks off or whatever it was and come in and try to beat the Rams, especially against that defense. I thought possibly the best choice they made last night in game planning for that Rams defensive line was just straight up saying, we're not going to allow Aaron Donald to beat us.
Absolutely.
Taking Donald out of the picture allowed Trubisky to operate. How many times did we see Trubisky just squeak out of the right side of the line and get 5 to 8 yards? And that was because Donald wasn't in the picture from behind.
And I thought they were really smart in how they chipped Donald. They doubled, they mixed up man and zone, and they were never man blocking on Donald.
Rarely.
And when they were, they rolled Trubisky away. They got him loose. I really, really liked Matt Nagy's offensive scheme last night. By the way, if you're a 49er fan, I don't know how you're not missing Vic Fangio right now. Like, how did he get away from you? The one of the best moves that Matt Nagy made, when he got to Chicago, they fired John Fox. Vic Fangio was his defensive coordinator. He kept Vic Fangio. And if you remember when the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh were going to the Super Bowl, their defense was really good. Patrick Willis, you know, P. Willis, Navarro Bowman, like they were really good. And why was that? Because Vic Fangio was their coordinator. And now he's the coordinator in Chicago, and he is really, really good. Lionheart, 602 on the Fanatic text line at 888-368-1580. Lionheart says, lived in Chicago before moving to Arizona. Chicago fans deserve the product that is on the field as much as it pains me to say that as a Lions fan. Well, you must have had a really good day yesterday at State Farm. By the way, good job by the Lions fans turning out in volume because there were a lot of Lions fans at State Farm Stadium yesterday. Heathen Hammer, good morning to you, says, as a guy who bleeds green and gold, welcome to Oakland, Kyler. That's another question from this weekend. As we talk about a big weekend in sports, Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy. Now, depending on who you believe, Kyler Murray's between 5'9 and 5'10 and a half.
He's between too small and not big enough.
Yes, that's exactly right. The guy should go play baseball. He's drafted under contract with the A's.
This choice seems very clear cut to me. Why would you not go make more money? Why would you not protect your brain? And why would you not live a better lifestyle? It's that simple.
I don't know why you would go. I don't know why you would do that.
There's only one reason. for the love of the game. That's it. The only reason you would go and play football is because you love it that much more than you love baseball.
It would be really surprising.
And Kyler coming out and saying, well, the slider is one of the most difficult things to hit in all sports. It's one of the hitting a slider is one of the most difficult things to do in sports.
Well, that's all well and good, but breaking,
go figure it out.
Breaking bones as a 5'10", 200-pound quarterback in the NFL is not that difficult. It's not that difficult. Sorry. It really isn't. And if I'm Kyler Murray, I'm going to play for the Oakland A's. They're getting a new stadium. They consistently are contenders. You're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to give you every chance to develop and become a major leaguer. If I'm Kyler Murray, I am going to the Oakland A's. By the way, before I get too far away from it, here on Monty in the Morning at 7:30, GCU damn near beat Nevada yesterday at the Colangelo. And I think one of the bigger stories, they lose 74-66. By the way, they should have won the game.
No doubt.
Yeah, GCU had that game in their hand. Trey Drexel's a player. 16 points, 4-of-4 from three. He might be that breakout scorer that they need. Dan Marley on the show tomorrow at about 8:30. We'll ask Dan about Trey Drexel. And they've got to get Freyer going. GCU has got to get Freyer going. He's too good and too talented, and frankly, he's too much of a difference maker.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for GCU is they got to learn how to finish games. You can't. I saw, watching the end of that game, I saw a lot of settling for threes, a lot of rushing shots, and I understand
3-4 possessions where you didn't have, where you didn't score.
Well, you just didn't have quality possessions.
Yeah.
You didn't move the ball. You settled for the open three instead of really forcing your way to the block and getting a high percentage look. And I thought, you know, for the most part, you watched their game. They were doing that for most of the game, and it led to success.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Let me get some more of your texts in here. Big Matt says, if the Bears got Le'Veon Bell, they'd win a Super Bowl. Yeah, and they have the cap space to do that. That he would certainly be an upgrade, although I don't know, can you play Le'Veon Bell and Tarik Cohen together? Because Cohen certainly looks like a guy that is on par with Le'Veon Bell.
Either way, you can't go wrong signing Le'Veon.
No, and you never have to take him off the field.
My biggest concern is he hasn't played football in a long time now.
Yeah, and clearly Le'Veon is not going to play a snap this year now. We know that for sure. But we'll see. You know what? It's interesting. 888-368-1580. It's really interesting. I want to hear from you on your team. 888-368-1580. I see a lot of Bears fans. I see a lot of Cowboy fans. Yes, I think the Cowboys are legit. I do. The 949 says, I'm a huge Cowboy fan. Your thoughts on the win? My thoughts on the Cowboy win yesterday? They earned it. And now they essentially have won the NFC East. They just got to win one of those three games, and they're in. They win the NFCs. They're the best team in that division. How about, by the way, anybody see what happened to the Redskins yesterday? They got pummeled, but Josh Johnson ran for a score and threw for a score. How about that from the American Alliance of Football quarterback for the San Diego Fleet?
Yep.
Now a Washington Redskin quarterback. That's the Cowboys division. With that loss, especially, the win was twice as big because they beat the Eagles.
Well, and the Eagles are talking trash before the matchup, and they shut the Eagles up. And more importantly, I think if you're a Cowboys fan, the 949, I think you got to really talk about, hey, how are we going to finish the regular season now? We've essentially, not officially, but essentially, we've locked up our division. We're going to the postseason.
Yeah.
Are we going to go to the postseason strong and in stride, or are we going to go to the postseason on a loss and reeling? And that's a huge question this time of year. If you're one of those fringe playoff teams, if you're one of those teams that are really having to earn it this year, you got to run into the postseason. You can't be having any kind of questions going into the postseason.
Well, it's not going to be easy. They're at the Colts, home for Tampa, and at the Giants.
That should be three wins. I'm sorry. Colts
should
be the toughest, but that should be three wins.
But what makes you think the Giants are an easy out? They're not an easy out. This is a team now that's won 4 of 5, including beating the Bears. They beat the Redskins, the Redskins, the Bucs, and the Niners in their other three. Lost at the Eagles. But the Giants are not going to be an easy out. They will not. They pounded the Redskins yesterday 40-16, and Saquon Barkley is an absolute machine. But I'm telling you, Dak Prescott's the reason this team won't go forward. And I think the way Ezekiel Elliott's playing, You just, he's got to be the centerpiece. And you have got to teach Dak Prescott not that he's got 12 fumbles, man. This is a ball security position. The quarterback in the NFL, his job is to protect the football. And Dak Prescott has a problem with that. And I think you have to give Jerry Jones all the credit in the world. You've got to. Now, everybody was ripping Jerry for, you know, the Amari Cooper trade. You gave up too much. I don't think you could say you gave up too much anymore.
No.
Everybody was ripping Jerry for the Van Der Esch pick. Don't think you can rip Jerry for the Van Der Esch pick.
Let's rewind the tape even further. Everybody was criticizing Jerry for sticking with Zeke. After, let's go all the way back to the domestic violence issue Zeke hit.
A year ago, the suspension fiasco.
You know, everybody was talking about, well, why would you wait so long? Just take the suspension. Get it over with. Have him back in week 10.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and now him sticking with Zeke has worked out very well. If you look at the guys who are truly winning football games for the Dallas Cowboys, and as poorly, I think, as Dak has played, especially early in that game yesterday, really, let's just call it what it was, for three quarters, he threw the ball 54 times. Threw for 455 yards. Three touchdowns, two interceptions. That's not easy to do. To throw two picks and still be rated 105 is pretty good. Jerry's stuck with Dak. Jerry is stuck with Zeke. By the way, Cowboy fans, I think it's pretty clear the Red Ravens going to be your head coach next year. Jason Garrett's not getting fired now.
No.
This reclamation project has been unbelievable. But if you look at Amari Cooper, that's a Jerry Jones special. And now you got to give him credit for that. If you look at Jalen Smith, the linebacker out of Notre Dame, tore his knee up in a bowl game. Cowboys still picked him. Cowboys got ripped for picking him. Now he's one of the best linebackers in football. Leighton Van Der Esch. Oh, you picked him too high. Should have done this. He's one of the best linebackers in football. DeMarcus Lawrence. You can go up and down this list with Tyrone Crawford. Randy Gregory, certainly. They're winning football games with the guys that Jerry Jones laid down for. And you got to give Jerry Jones some credit for that. And if you're a Philly fan this morning, I don't know what to tell you about Carson Wentz. You're going to read a box score and be like, well, it's not Carson's fault. Sure it is. They lost that game yesterday because Carson Wentz couldn't put the football on his guy, so the wide receivers are having to slow down. Alshon Jeffrey had to fight for his life on every throw. You know, and they got hosed. The Dallas Goedert penalty, or excuse me, Goddard penalty, where he got called for PI late in the game was not a penalty on him. Sorry, that was a ghost. And the touchdown should have counted, and they should have won this game. Should have never gone to overtime. Period. Trevor in Phoenix. Morning, guys. Good morning, Trevor. I've been a Dallas fan my entire life, and no question about it, I am ready to get hurt again. Yeah, you're going to get stomped. Your heart is going to get broken. Dak Prescott cannot turn the football over the way that he has and expect to beat teams. And let's see, in the NFC right now, you would think the Saints and the Rams would have the bye, right? So if it ended today, it'd probably be Bears and Vikings and then Cowboys in Seattle.
I like Bears in Dallas, bro. That's what I like. I like that a lot.
You think the Cowboys at home would beat Seattle?
Yes, I do.
And you think the Bears at home would beat the Vikings?
I think they'd stomp the Vikings.
Would the Cowboys beat the Bears at Soldier Field?
No.
No chance.
No chance.
I don't think they would. I don't think they – and when you're turnover happy like the Dallas Cowboys are, boy, that hurts. Boy, that hurts. Good to hear from you, Trevor. Lopes fan Gabe, Trey has been solid for GCU. What Nevada didn't see on film or do much of was press Drexel. I agree with that. I don't know why you wouldn't. The cracks start to show when pressure is turned up, but he's getting better. GCU basketball, for those of you who didn't see it yesterday, they lose to Nevada 74-66 in a game, by the way, in a game that GCU had control of. They should have won that game. I hate to say that. And they were up, 14-0 or 9-0 or something stupid like that? That doesn't even matter to me. Like, you knew Nevada was going to come back. They're a slow-starting team. What bothers you is you had three straight possessions. You had offensive rebounds. You didn't score. You're within six with 2 minutes to go, and you never get closer. Like, they just could not convert, and they settled for threes way too much. So it'll be interesting to see what Dan says about it tomorrow morning. Dan Marley at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Donnie, hey, Donnie. Trubisky isn't winning a game in January. I would guess that he will win a game in January. What you saw last night is a guy that was rusty. And as a Viking fan, I get it. Listen, you can rip Mitchell Trubisky for a lot of things. His ability to run and his ability to deliver the football in small windows has not been questioned this year. What you saw yesterday was a guy who had one full throwing practice in a cold weather situation. That's hard to throw footballs when you're rusty and it's really cold. Trubisky's not their biggest problem. Their inability to run the football against anybody but the Rams is their biggest problem. Football at 50 straight ahead. We're going to talk Pats, Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens, and what's going on with the San Diego, we play in L.A. inside of a soccer stadium, Chargers. Why are they not going to have home field advantage? We'll tell you next. Monty in the Morning, talking the National Football League. On 1580 and 99.3, the Fanatic is Arizona's new home for CBS Sports Radio.
I mean, it's not ideal. I don't mean to be sarcastic, but that's like just kind of cards you've been dealt and just got to deal with them. Got to end the drive. I mean, I guess the bright side of it is at least he scored a touchdown, so I could get on the field and try to get over it. But definitely not on the bright side. But yeah.
Not ideal.
I mean, it's not ideal.
Not ideal. Josh Rosen on his pick six. Maybe don't throw it when the guy's looking at you and you're all the way across on the opposite hash and you throw an out route.
I mean, it's not ideal.
And he essentially bear crawled into the end zone. I kid. I would expect Josh Rosen not to be humorous there. 17-3 Lions over the Cards. Little low-key. Like, is this a porn thing? Like, with the horns in there and everything? 17-3. I don't know what I'm doing. 17-3 Lions over the Cardinals. Larry Fitzgerald breaks another record. Most receptions for a single team, 1,282 with the Cardinals passing Jerry Rice. Steve Keim swears this team's not rebuilding, and I swear if they don't fire Steve Keim. I mean, I have to talk about the Cardinals begrudgingly, I guess.
Don't lie to me.
Yeah, you're rebuilding. Hey, Steve, are you rebuilding? Hold my beer. Oh, okay. Like, I guess you're rebuilding. Like, you have to. He said that they have $70 million in cap space, so we're not rebuilding. No free agents are coming here to play for you. I think that's the God's honest truth. Amazing. Biggest stories in sports this morning. By the way, the Lakers are trying to get Trevor Ariza. The Suns and Lakers, supposedly, according to a Woj bomb, have essentially an agreement in place. They need to find a third team. And it would be Ariza to the Lakers. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope would be going out of L.A. The question is, where does he go and who's that third team if that's to happen? So we'll find out about that. GCU loses to Nevada yesterday. Frustrating game to watch. They play Saturday in Texas against UT at Austin. Kyler Murray wins the Heisman Trophy, and the MLB winter meetings open today. Will the Arizona Diamondbacks get fleeced again for Paul Goldschmidt? Sorry, I'll stop. Still can't believe that trade happened. It's one of the worst trades that I, yeah, can't believe that trade happened. 602 says, good morning, it's Harrington here. What's going on with my Falcons? Well, Matt Ryan's in detention today for that F-bomb tirade he had on the sidelines at Green Bay. Did anybody see that? Okay, so all of a sudden, the Packers win 34-20. Matt Ryan, 262, three touchdowns, an interception. He just let go of, I mean, it must be a record-setting number of F-bombs. And he's always kind of been a potty mouth. Like, if you just, I'm sure it's out there, but there's videos of him, like, standing at the line of scrimmage, F-bombing his players. And,
go for yourself.
Yeah, like he's yelling and screaming, get effing set. Like, I mean, he's really intense. But yesterday, the Atlanta Falcons, this team, are they dead? Like, I'm serious. I don't even know what to say about the Falcons other than I don't know. Like, you're really talented. You have, like, Julio, Sanu. Like, you have guys that are really talented. And you're just not winning games. And I don't want to hear about injuries on defense with the Falcons.
I mean, it's not ideal.
No. It's not ideal, but everybody's hurt. You lost to the Packers. Packers are terrible. And you know what the truth is, Harrington, about the Atlanta Falcons? You're in the worst possible place, the middle. You're certainly not the best. You're certainly not the worst. You're going to have a mid-round draft pick. And I mean,
it's not ideal.
No, you're in purgatory, dude. Well, we're not going to hell. But for some reason, we're not allowed into heaven either. It's called the 20th pick of the first round.
I mean, it's not ideal.
Right? That's where they are. They've lost like 5 in a row, I think, or, you know, it's just, yeah. Oh, Devil Sean says the background beat is Far Side. You need to brush up on your hip hop. Well, yeah, I probably do. I listen to way too much Drake, Jay-Z. Like, I listen to too much of the mainstream. I probably need to get out of the mainstream a little bit. But the Falcons have lost 5 in a row. I think yesterday was – there were some great stories yesterday. And I actually think we may have seen the end of an era in the National Football League. I'll tell you about it right now on Football at 50.
Every hour, 10 till the hour, it's Football at 50.
Let's talk football.
Let's talk football.
Ready, break!
On 1580 AM and 99.3 FM, The Fanatic, Arizona's football station.
Yeah, and by the way, before I'll try to do it like at 8, like 8:20 after Mark Asher comes in here. I got to tell you this story about the guy at the gym. I was playing basketball and a guy said, "Yo, bro, how much do you bench? Bro, like, how much do you bench?" Hey, shut up, dude. It was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. I'll do that story at 8:20. Anyway, Football 50, 10 to the hour, every hour. Monty in the morning on 1580 and 99.3, The Fanatic. I think the biggest stories not being the Cardinals or the Bears, the Patriots losing in Miami and losing like a bunch of old men stumbling around the old folks' home. What was Tom Brady doing at the end of the first half? What was Rob Gronkowski doing at the end of the game? And why was Devin McCourty not on the field? It was an amazing, amazing mismanagement of a football game that we're just not used to seeing out of the Patriots. Are they done? Are they done? And I know that I think they're second in the AFC at 9-4. But this doesn't feel like the Patriots, right? Like, this doesn't feel like TB12. And this feels like a team that doesn't know how to manage the clock and has lost a game that they had no business losing. And oddly, it's hard for me to even say it out loud. Brady and Belichick cost them that game yesterday. Tom Brady took a sack at the end of the first half and didn't get a field goal, and they wind up losing the game because of it. And then Bill Belichick tries to go all Jedi mind trick with Rob Gronkowski being the safety valve at the back of the defense for a Hail Mary. And it was not a Hail Mary. It was a hook and ladder craziness. And Rob Gronkowski tried to tackle Drake, and I think he almost broke his legs. And by the way, I didn't know that Drake was also a football player and a rapper.
I see what you did there.
Not the same Drake. Is that what you're – it's not the same?
Yeah, different Drake.
Oh, my bad. I got confused there. Anyway, the point is the Patriots lose a game they should have won, and now they're 9-4, and they're nowhere near the Kansas City Chiefs. Can we just hand Patrick Mahomes the MVP trophy right now? This guy's bawling out of his mind. Those two throws yesterday, the one over the middle of the field, did you see the no-look throws? Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. on Twitter. The no-look throw by Patrick Mahomes was amazing. That's one of the best plays of the year. Just give the guy the MVP trophy now. And then there's the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 7-5-1 and lost to the Oakland Raiders because their kicker slipped on the game-tying field goal. And Ben Roethlisberger leaves that game injured, and they can do nothing offensively. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers not the most dysfunctional team in the NFL?
They have to be.
With all the stars they have, every one of their superstar players is pissed off about something. And now they lose to the Raiders.
And Juju just keeps making ridiculous catches, I might add.
Juju Smith-Schuster is a really good receiver. But if you cannot get him the ball, because you got to throw it to Antonio Brown, or Antonio's going to lose his mind. And then there's the San Diego LA Chargers that play in a soccer stadium.
Who?
Oh, the Chargers win again. Hey, they're 10-3, and they're going to be a wild card team, and they won't have home field advantage because the Chiefs are going to win the division. Let's say that the Chiefs win the division, have home field throughout, and they run into the Chargers at Arrowhead. Who wins that game?
Well, certainly you have to take the Chiefs, but, man, that'd be a nice game.
Oh, I think – I'm not saying certainly anything. If they get Gordon back healthy
– Keenan Allen's going to have some fun in that game.
I got to believe that the Chargers win that game. I think the Chargers are better than the Chiefs, but nobody talks about them. Certainly nobody goes to see them in their home dumpster fire.
What do you make of the Chiefs now that they don't have Kareem Hunt? And one thing to take away from that game is Tyreek Hill's foot is a problem for him now.
Yeah, he said he was in excruciating pain with his heel and that he's not sure of his status.
And give the guy credit. He gave all the credit to the medical staff, which, in my opinion, rarely happens. He said those guys taped up his ankle really well, and his heel still really hurt. So that tells me there's a real problem there.
Yeah, it is a problem. And Spencer Ware's a hell of a running back, but he's not Kareem Hunt. And I don't disagree that they should have cut him.
But
don't get me wrong.
We were talking about earlier on the show, just a little while ago, we were crediting Jarrah for staying with Zeke. And the Chiefs decided not to stay with Kareem.
Well,
so
he wouldn't be playing because he'd be on the exempt list.
Sure, I'm just saying, though. I'm just saying the situations are very much one and the same. I mean, Zeke wasn't on the exempt list or whatever, but still, you know, it's still the same idea.
Yeah, I do. And by the way, the Dallas Cowboys are legit. They are legit. There's no question about that. None. They are the AFC East soon-to-be champions. They're fourth in the NFC. And they're going to have a home playoff game. And they're dangerous.
And that's a serious home field advantage.
Don't sleep on the Dallas Cowboys because they are a legitimate team in the NFC. And I've said it all morning and I'll keep saying it all morning long. Jerry Jones deserves a pat on the back for them winning because he went out and he gave up a first rounder to get Amari Cooper. Oh, Jerry's dumb. Amari Cooper is worth a first-round pick because who would they have had to pick? They would have taken some talent on the outside, and he is doing amazing things for Dak Prescott. Jerry Jones got crushed for drafting Leighton Vander Esch where he did. Kid's been worth that pick.
Well, we prefer to win.
Yeah. Jalen Smith. Oh, you can't take Jalen Smith. He hurt his knee. Jalen Smith has been fine, and now he's one of the best linebackers in football. Jerry Jones doesn't win a whole lot of games, is probably too loyal, which is almost the worst thing you can be in professional sports. But the Dallas Cowboys are winning, and it is time to say, hey, Jerry Jones, nice job.
Okay, now let's move on and never say it again.
Yeah, sorry. Let's talk about the Cardinals, the Bears, the Bears. Yeah, it's Packer week, baby. Bears win 15-6. Are the Bears a Super Bowl contender? Who's your team? Where are you at with your team? 888-368-1580. 888-368-1580, the number to hit me on the Fanatic text line. Mark Asher, thanks to our friends at the Lund Mortgage Team, LundMortgageTeam.com. Mark's going to hop in here. We'll talk some NFL. I got to ask him about the Heisman Trophy. And we'll talk about Jim Bro. Next, Monty in the Morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic is Arizona's new home for sports.